process. Musk said he would abide by the results, and he has now confirmed it on Twitter, tweeting, "I will resign as CEO as soon as I find someone foolish enough to take the job. After that, I'll just run the software and server teams." There are a lot of people, though, not buying it, responding, "Don't believe everything you read on Twitter." Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
The Democrat-controlled House Ways and Means Committee's votes to publicly release a report on former President Trump's tax returns. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The committee believed that transparency was important, that the public see Trump's tax returns after all these years when he promised that they would be available and yet never did make them available.
In Northern California, at least two people have died and a dozen others injured after a powerful magnitude 6.4 earthquake struck early this morning near the rural town of Ferndale. Seismologist Angie Lux.
We have no way of telling whether this is a foreshock to a larger earthquake. We don't know, but this is a great reminder.
CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Humboldt County, California.
If you live in this part of California, or really anywhere in California, you are to expect these types of events. Ironically, a 6.2 magnitude earthquake happened in the same area exactly 1 year ago. So, yes, these people here are used to it, but even driving by, one woman told us this was the scariest one, the jolt that she encountered.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is apparently planning his first trip to the U.S. since the start of the war in his country. CBS's Scott McFarland reports.
Multiple sources tell CBS News plans are underway to bring Zelensky to Washington for a speech to Congress Wednesday night. It's happening just as lawmakers are set to vote on a year-end spending bill that includes $45 billion in emergency aid to Ukraine.
Tensions are high at the U.S.-Mexico border amid uncertainty over the future of restrictions on asylum seekers. The Biden administration has asked the Supreme Court to lift the limits, but not until after Christmas. It comes a day after Chief Justice John Roberts issued a temporary order to keep the pandemic-era limits on migrants in place. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Thousands of migrants have crossed this area in the last few days. Despite the uncertainty of ending Title 42, the city is putting plans in motion to house as many as 10,000 migrants, even considering opening their convention center and schools not currently in use.
This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Did you know there's a conservative advocacy and benefits organization with over 2 million members and counting? It's AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Hi, this is Mary Walter. Here are three reasons why you should consider joining AMAC right now. First, AMAC saves you money from discounts on travel and lodging, cell phones and plans, access to insurance products, and more. Joining AMAC is a powerful tool against inflation. Second, with a bi-monthly magazine, daily website content, podcasts with America's thought leaders, and an app that delivers insightful coverage of the issues that matter most, AMAC is a trusted source of information. And third, the reason that people say is their favorite, is that AMAC fights for your conservative values on Capitol Hill. With more than 2 million members, AMAC is a voice that cannot be ignored, working tirelessly to preserve the freedom secured by our Constitution. Go to amac.us/liberty and join today. That's amac.us/liberty. amac.us/liberty.
They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. In the same way, the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. A journey like this takes commitment from you and me. A commitment to end poverty for good. Learn how you can help at children.org right now.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you as a police officer that this department is reaching out to the community and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. Thursday night and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. 9 below tonight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow again tomorrow 11. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, zero.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bravely bold Sir Robin rode forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die, oh brave Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Brave.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. It is the final hour of the show of this week because it's Friday and we are just marching towards the weekend. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. And a reminder that if you like our show, tell your friends because we love to spread the word. We love to grow our audience because we are a new show. It's only been like 4 or 5 months.
5 months.
So we always appreciate you helping us bring more people in. But, you know, as I said earlier, I left Wisconsin in 2003. I came back in 2020. And when I first got back and I started As Goes Wisconsin, I was looking for Wisconsin podcasts. And, you know, a lot of the ones that popped up were either from like WPR or Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or a lot of sports podcasts, if you can imagine that. A lot of Packers podcasts. But there was one that stood out. And it's called the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast. And so our guests today, we're finally getting them on the show, are the two booze-drinking buddies behind the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast, Russ Sari and Eric Sturton. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks for having us.
So I guess let's just start with how would you describe what the show is about?
All right. So we feature a lot of Wisconsin history. Wisconsin is a very interesting history. When we were kind of creating the show, I know Eric brought it to my attention, like just the talent we have here in the state when it comes to music. So we're like, we got to feature something with music. We kind of looked through the newspaper articles. Eric, what do you say? Like the how many locals? How did that start? It was like literally inside thing. So we lived, like I had a roommate, Mike, at the time. He's a really good friend of ours. Eric would come over pretty much every weekend. We kind of go and like go on these little dive bar tours and stuff around Wisconsin. And when we got back home, we drank Four Locos, which is like a drink. Don't laugh.
It's a beautiful drink.
We used to drink Four Locos. And it was kind of an inside thing. Like, how many locos are you at? Like, if you had two cans, you were at like an 8 loco.
Right.
So like, we'd be like, Mike, that's how many locos are you at? And Mike would be like, I'm at a 12 loco. And Sturge would be like, I'm at about an 8 right now. He'd be like 2 cans in. So that was like kind of our segment started. And we like made this rating where, you know, you'd find these interesting news articles with
OWIs or somebody drinking and driving.
Insanely things that happened in the state you would not believe. Tune into the show to find out some of these really crazy things. But I mean, the one we featured today, somebody ran into Bernice at Cedar Crest, the fiberglass cow there up in Manitowoc there, if you haven't been there. And
Somebody tried to get on Bernice and
like
somebody,
climb
onto Bernice.
And it was actually a political official, and we won't say who it is. You can find out next week.
Is this something that happened recently?
It was 2017.
It was 2017. Okay, political alderman.
An alderman went
up and tried to climb Bernice.
And Ryder.
One of our favorite fiberglass cows here in the state. And what would you do that to Bernice or Sissy over there?
Yeah. So I mean, honestly, I mean, how this all really started was we both had this mutual understanding that Wisconsin is the greatest state. And we wanted to feature all the different things that the state has to offer, all the different figures that are prominent, different inventors and engineers and individuals that we really just wanted to kind of point to and make sure that everybody knows about them. And that could be, like I said, inventors and engineers or people that do brewing or, you know, anything that really kind of brought the state into where it's at now. And so we really feature that. Plus, we feature the Wisconsin music, the artists that are coming out of here right now. And we try to pull back and look at some historical ones as well. And but we'd love to kind of point to some of the local artists that play at all these venues in Madison and Milwaukee that are really, you know, big right now, and not really big, but, you know, that are just coming out of the Milwaukee and Wisconsin scene in general. And it's really out of the you know, jealousy that Russ and I have. We're kind of failed musicians ourselves. And so we wanted to get that into the ears of every single person that we could, as well as have an excuse to get together. We're best friends. And that was really the key. You know, we can talk about Wisconsin, we can feature music, and we can get together and hang out and have a few drinks.
So is that the drunken part? It's just that you're drinking while you're recording?
If you were to be able to see our studio and how many beers are lined up,
it's
unreal. I mean, we've had pretty much every brewery within the state, we've at least had probably one beer on there at this point.
Oh, wow.
We've had Northern Wisconsin breweries come on. They've given us stuff, which we didn't even ask for. I mean, that's what so we actually have like a Patreon, which you can kind of support our small, independent endeavor. And a lot of that goes to like paying for artists and going back to our state, which is like all we wanted to do in the beginning. It was like our whole goal was basically to support local. Like, we love local stuff. I don't know about Eric, but I know for me, I only drink milk that is the number 55 on the top. That's like how Wisconsin I am. You got to have the 55 on the top. But yeah, we just love the state, and we thought we could, you know, get to the masses. And, you know, recently it's probably taken off a little more, I would say,
since we
started. And, it was really cool because we're on an LA podcast. We're like, oh, me and Sturge, these Midwestern kids are on an LA podcast. You know, it was just such a cool thing for us.
Yeah, that was with Hilf. She's done a great job of reaching out to us. And I think she was actually Wisconsin based as well for a while. I know you had moved out to LA as well, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. And she just was like, just reached out to us and thought it was really neat that we were doing this. And she was like, record a 30-second thing and I'll include it on my podcast. So it really has. We've really somehow reached out to a bunch of people.
Somebody appreciates it at least.
Well, that's what's so impressive. So we're talking to Eric Sturgeon and Russ Sari, who are the hosts and founders of the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast. Because on your website, you guys you've reached people in the United Kingdom, Canada, Belgium, Ireland, Egypt, Indonesia, Australia, and New Zealand. Who are all these? Are these all people who are from Wisconsin and have left? Or who are these people that are interested in drunk Wisconsin history?
We always wondered that, you know, and it's just really cool that we can spread this message, you know, of our small state, our little thing on the map. But there's just so much interesting stuff here. I mean, everything you use like every day is a lot of it has been created in our state, which is just incredible to me. Like, whether it's Case International, if you're driving a tractor, or, you know, your Generac right here in Waukesha, you know, it's just really incredible that all this was started in our state, and it's international, you know, it's incredible. And, you know, with our long winters here, you know, you got the time to really think about things, you know, it's cold. You don't want to hibernate. You know, you half the year you got to hibernate, basically, so you can come up with these really creative things. And, you know, it was really cool. Me and Eric could come up with this creative thing that we could present to everybody in the world and really, really promote our state.
And so, but neither of you are historians.
No, definitely not.
Definitely. Because we had John Gerda on yesterday, who absolutely is a historian.
And we love John Gerda.
We are
John
around Gerda's the corner huge. Fans.
Well, no, that's John McGivern.
John Gerda was on. I only found that out this week, too.
Oh, really?
Is the fact that it was John McGivern's show, who was here Tuesday.
Yes. But Gerda comes on there.
And then Gerda came on.
Yep.
And I only found that out on Tuesday. And then I had already scheduled Gerda to come on yesterday. And now I have you two gentlemen, but not historians.
I went to UW-Madison, and I did study some history while I was there, obviously. And I love history. I really do. I mean, when you live up in the Northwoods, let's just say you live up in the North, there's not a lot to do. Like, there really isn't a much up there. I mean, a lot of times, like, as a younger man, I like the library. I'm a nerd. I'm throwing it out there.
You gotta read.
Kind of a nerd. I'm a nerd. I get it.
Yeah, so I would like read up on a lot of stuff, and it's just such cool history, like things unsolved in our state, or, you know, like we haven't come up with these yet, but there's a lot of hidden treasure in our state from like the French that were here. They buried a lot of treasure. Never has been.
Oh, you don't mean figuratively.
There's real treasure.
There's actual treasure.
There's treasures all over our state that have never been found. There's a lot of things we haven't like released yet that are in the works. So just make sure you tune in and find out. So
we have a nice spreadsheet of just topics galore. And I mean, we are not even a third of the way through at this point, and we're, you know, 2.5 years in. So,
yeah. And every episode has like a unique artist. So like at this point, we're at like about 131 artists that we have in our state that we featured, and just a really eclectic, different stuff. I mean, it's just from Sister Strings in Milwaukee, like almost symphony.
I just talked about that. They're going to SNL this weekend.
Yeah, to the Dead Horses, to Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, to
Telethon,
Brave You, just like these punk to like country to really eclectic acts.
We featured Sons of Leroy, which is the band that I drum for, and just to be able to do that is cool in itself. And then to dive into these topics that we can research and explore.
So what does, when you come up, you have your spreadsheet. I also have a similar type of spreadsheet of topics and a news article that I eventually want to get to. Some of them have been on there for a while. But what is the process of beginning to research them?
For me, I go to library. I go to library all the time, whether it's digging through like old Wisconsin archives, reaching out to Wisconsin Historical Society or things. I find all these old articles that kind of compile. When it comes to history, nobody wants to sit there for a 2-hour lecture. Like, I could make these, you know, unbelievably long and just bore you to death. So what me and Eric do is we kind of sum down things. I have Eric kind of proofread, like, you know, remove certain sections just so we have like a good overview to present to you.
So you present it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so these are like a lot of books. A lot of times we'll list like our references and everything and what books we use to research. And we kind of have to sum it down into 15 minutes, which is always really hard. Like somebody like Georgia O'Keeffe, which is on my list. Like, it's hard to sum that down into 15 minutes digestible for somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially like our generation. We're like kind of all over the place. I'm going to be honest. Like, we're just like here.
Quick consumable stuff is
it's very hard
to do. And for me, it's mostly YouTube documentaries. I mean, somebody has done that research before me, and I'm going and consuming their content. So it's kind of a mutual agreement that they're going to put that out there, and then I can sort of utilize that in what we do in the podcast. So, but there's tons of information out there. Tons.
Yes. And so this is so fun. We have so many stories because I want to talk about some of the episodes you guys have done. And so you can relive or retell some of the things that you've learned. But the podcast hosts of the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast, Russ Sari and Eric Sturgeon, are here. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hometown News Talk and Sports Station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us. It is 1:21. We have less than an hour left until the weekend is here, and we cannot wait. But the weekend has started maybe even a little bit already, because our guests this hour are the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast hosts, Russ Sari and Eric Sturgeon. And this just sounds like such a quintessential all things Wisconsin podcast that gets away from necessarily the news of the day, but it's not all just history. Some of it is celebrating our beer. Some of it is celebrating our music, but also our past. And so now meeting you guys in person, like, you are two pretty quintessential Wisconsin guys.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So where did you guys grow up?
Okay, so for me, I ended up in Hurley, Wisconsin, which is way up north, if anyone knows where that's at. It's pretty much in the UP. And I moved down here where I met my best friend here, Eric, and we've been friends ever since. And we're kind of
so
both...
moved down here to, like, Waukesha, like southeast Wisconsin?
Yeah, southeastern Wisconsin. We both grew up in a small town called Elkhorn, if you've ever heard of that. It's very tiny.
Near Lake Geneva.
But we initially clicked, like, right away. I mean, we're both very sarcastic people. We don't take a lot of things serious. You know, like, we're always joking about everything. Like, nothing is too serious, I think. And I don't know if that's for you, Eric.
Oh, yeah, and nothing's off limits for me. I think if there's a joke there, I'll find it.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, Yeah. And so I was born, unfortunately, in the state of Illinois, in a town called North Chicago. My dad was in the military, so I was born on a naval base at Great Lakes Naval Base. And like 2 years in, my parents moved to Elkhorn. So I do
two
not
years
have
into your life.
Yeah. 2 years into my life. Yeah. I told them we need to get out of here and ship north. So there we were in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. So and my grandparents owned a bar at the time. So my parents just sort of fit right into that. That was their job. That was their career. And it kind of started everything off. You know, I shed whatever Chicago Bear or Cub or anything I had and was Bears or Packers and Brewers from then on. So,
yeah.
And so, What do you think it is about? Because I don't know. Like, I have lived in other places. I've lived in California. I've lived in New York. I haven't lived in other what they would call, they being the coasties, flyover states. And so I always wonder, there is something about Wisconsin where, like, Wisconsin loves Wisconsin.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? And, like, it's like the success of Charlie Barron's, the success of your guys' podcast. You're showing me your tattoo of the
tattoo
state right
the
now.
State on my arm, yeah.
Obviously, what I've found with Asgo's Wisconsin and, like, the... You know, sometimes you refer to it as low-hanging fruit, but some of the things about Wisconsin, whether it's our drinking culture, our sports, our cheese, our brats, like, there's things. But instead of we all embrace it. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there like, oh, Wisconsin's more than that, and, like, we're not you know, hokey. But what have you guys found, even for yourselves or for the audience that you found, of, like, why you think Wisconsin just loves Wisconsin?
For me, it's just, I mean, we are such nice individuals. You're not going to get a terrible person out of the bunch, you know, generally speaking. So for us, you know, we love living near the right people. And for me, it's just the people. It's my neighbor. It's, you know, Russ. You know, it's the people we went to high school with. You can always kind of look to them to be a good calling card. You can always rely on that. And that's exactly where I think, you know, we like to promote the person down the street who might be a screen printer or a person who might be a butcher or a brewer. Those individuals are not only your friends and family, but they're soon enough going to be an acquaintance of yours, whether you like it or not. And we're going to sneak right past you there.
Scooch.
We're gonna scooch. What about you? What do you think?
You know, for me, it's like the state is so diverse. It's a melting pot of culture that has come together. Whether you're going to Pulaski for the Polka Festival or you go, you know, the cranberries, there's waterfalls, there's amazing outdoor activities here. Like Eric said, the Midwest friendliness that everyone talks about, it really does exist. You go to, like, a place like LA where everything just seems dead. People just seem like they're on their cell phone and they won't talk to you. They ignore you. Like, no matter what you do, you go to New York and people are just angry, you know? And like here,
have you been to either of those places?
Oh my gosh, yes, I have. Yeah. I've traveled everywhere as an engineer, even in other countries, you know? And I always, when I come home and I land in that cold tundra of Wisconsin, it's just like such a great feeling. It's like, I know I'm home. I know I can trust my neighbor. I know, like, I don't have to worry about crime so much, you know? It's just a great place to live. And I really, you know, when it comes to affording housing or, you know, it's affordable to live here. And it's just a great thing. There's so many things you can do, whether you're, especially if you're an outdoors person like I am, whether it's fishing or going on a canoe or going up north, going waterfall searching. I just love this state. I can't say it enough. I mean,
you guys need to reach out to the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. You need to be spokespeople, man.
This is so pro Wisconsin. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But like, we should get you. Who's in charge of that now these days? Sayer? Something?
Ann Sayer. Yes.
Yeah, we got to get you guys in front of her be like, cutting commercials for why you should come to Wisconsin, why you should move to Wisconsin, why you should work in Wisconsin.
There is just a lot of things. And like, I know you've traveled, you've been to other places. I mean, for me, like, if it wasn't for Wisconsin and I had the money, Colorado would be the only other place I would move. I really love Colorado. I love the mountains, and it's the same. It's like you got the outdoors and you got like the rivers and everything.
Brewing culture.
The brewing. Yeah. It's the same thing as Colorado Wisconsin. Brewing. It's just more expensive. And for me,
it is more expensive. Dr. Mike, who's always on the show, my best friend, lives in Denver, and I consistently send him houses that he could buy for the same amount of money that he just bought his house. I was like, this is what you could get in Wisconsin. Yeah. Don't you want to move here?
Right. Yeah. I mean, for the cost of rent, we own a farm. I mean, I own 10
acres. You two own a farm?
I do. So I own a farm, and it's less than what I was paying for a rent in Madison. Or like if in California, it was like we looked in northern San Diego there in North Park, and it was like $5,000. I mean, for $5,000 in Wisconsin, you can live in a mansion, honest.
Absolutely.
So.
All right, well, we're going to have to take a break for the bottom of the hour. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of the history that you guys have done episodes on, like frozen custard or Thanksgiving in Wisconsin or tavern haunts, whatever that means. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're here with the guys from the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast, and we'll be right back.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. Yes.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
I worked for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. Thursday night and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. 9 below tonight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow again tomorrow, 11. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 0.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. You can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And a reminder that if you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to it as a podcast. You can go to asgoeswisconsin.com or find it on Spotify or Apple or wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can also find, probably anywhere that you get your podcast, the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast. And our guest this hour has been Russ Sari and Eric Sturgeon, who are the creators and hosts of that podcast. And so I wanted to spend some time this segment on learning some of the things you've learned. And so your most recent episode was the history of frozen custard in Wisconsin. Yes. And I've always wondered, why is this such a Wisconsin? Why is custard so unique to Wisconsin?
I believe it's just, it's a higher fat content, right? In the it's not ice cream. So it's, you know, but it's better.
It just is better. Tastes great. I agree. It is better.
It's way more decadent. And, we just have such a, there's a slew of different venues that call themselves the best, you know, custard or something. But we decided that, you know, with all these articles that have been published about custard, frozen custard in the state of Wisconsin, we decided to talk about the top ones, the ones that consider themselves to be, you know, the king of the hill.
So who'd you cover?
Well, so we covered anywhere from Leon's, which is, you know, obviously that one is a staple. Gillies, we covered Leduc's, we covered Cops. I mean, Culver's, of course, you can't forget them. We covered pretty much all of the ones that can be considered your top favorites.
Well, see, I grew up with Michael's in Madison.
And we covered Michael's,
You covered it? So what did you test all of them? Were you both drinking beer and testing custard on the episode at the same time?
We did not do that. That would equal a bellyache, and we can't do that.
That would
be an instant sickness. But we have each, over the course of our lifetime, been to all of these different places. Not you know, you haven't been to all of them, Russ, but and I haven't been to all of them. But between the two of us, we have enjoyed our fair share of frozen custard, and we give our reasons why some are better than others. And sometimes it's not always just about the frozen custard either. Sometimes it's about the other confections and menu items that they offer. So with Gillies, I mean, they have some really great Dilly Bar. That's one thing that they have. And also their cheeseburgers or hot dogs. I mean, it's not just about that frozen custard. So we go in and we dive into everything they have to offer. So, and then
so it's
we
less
rate
about them. The history of it and more of a deep dive into each.
Each one location also gets a little bit of the history, too. Okay. So we do talk about
just a hair
of when maybe they started, how they got their origins. And then it's right into, you know, the things you can eat and consume.
And so what was there any fun facts that you got out of any of the locations for the little history that you
none that
gathered?
I can remember.
No.
The one we did do a separate episode on was Culver's.
Yeah.
And a little story I had is I think it was Lake Havasu, which is like on the border of Arizona and California.
They keep finding bodies in barrels out there because it's drying
it's weird.
Out.
Yeah. And so the crazy thing is, like, we are driving down, like, the main... Did you know the London Bridge is there? London Bridge is falling down. The actual London Bridge that was falling down is located in Lake Havasu.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the actual London Bridge. And so we are driving down that main strip there in Lake Havasu, and I'm like, is that a Culver's? I'm like, we have to stop. I need some cheese curds. Like, I'm craving with my... I need my Wisconsin fix. So we stopped there in Lake Havasu, and I got a custard and some cheese curds. So it's pretty... Right. Pretty.
It's everywhere.
Right.
It is.
It is
it's crazy.
Now.
It's great. It came right from our little state here. So
so out of the episodes you've done 130.
Yeah.
And what has been the most interesting story that you remember, because you are drinking when you're recording these things?
See,
so as far
thing.
As
when
the ones that you remember, like what's your favorite story of the episodes that you guys have done?
I think probably either Soundstorm, which was a random music festival that was up in Poinette, Wisconsin, up near like La Crosse area. And this was in the late 60s, early 70s. And the band Grateful Dead was scheduled to play there. And I'm a self-proclaimed deadhead, if you will. And I really enjoy everything about that. So to hear that they were playing at this random, you know, farm town in Wisconsin in the 70s was just amazing to hear. And then also Koss headphones, Koss Corporation, just hearing about their advancements and improvements with the stereo headphones and all that they did to kind of produce that whole idea of listening to music or anything in your head, and that they were actually on much of the Air Force One fleets for the longest time. That was the preferred headphone and stereophone for them. Of course, Les Paul. The Wizard of Waukesha is probably one of the most interesting episodes we've ever done. And I'm not sure that we did it any justice, but we talked about it. We hit all the points and we love Les Paul. We love Gibson guitars and just love music in general. So,
yeah, for me, I would have to say the invention of the snowmobile was pretty interesting. I'm a mechanical engineer, just so you all know. I really liked Ole Evinrude, the Evinrude Motor Company.
I have no idea. What is
and,
that?
It's a outboard motors.
Okay.
They're pretty much worldwide. And the Mercury motor, Carl Kiekehoffer. Made the actual...
Oh, that was a recent episode, too.
Yes, it was. Yeah, so Carl Kiekehoffer was inventor of the outboard motor as well, and he was a really strong businessman and basically wanted to make a better motor. So he... And you'll still see Mercury on many boats today. And even Evinrude, maybe not so much. They were bought out by Bombardier, if you will, the French company, and they kind of went under. But it's just really cool that all started in our state. Just some inventors in the wintertime that actually just came up with these. The snowmobile, Carl Eliason, created the snowmobile in Wisconsin. It was a winter project. It started out, there was other ones where like Model Ts would have like little skis and a tread on there. But he ended up creating the first snowmobile in Wisconsin, which is pretty incredible.
I think I knew that part, but I didn't know more of the story and like the motor and everything like that. And so that's super cool.
It is really neat. Like any outboard motor you see was started right here in our own state. So.
Yeah. I mean, all the mechanical advancements that that are inside of those things, the engineers right here in our state are the ones that are, you know, solely responsible for that, and how we can go really, really fast on boats or snowmobiles or cars. Yeah.
That's awesome. So we're talking to the podcast host and founders of the Wisconsin Drunken History Podcast, Russ Sari and Eric Sturgeon. And so you also, there's obviously the drunk part.
Yeah.
Because when I think when I first saw the name, I didn't know how similar it was going to be to Drunk History, the Comedy Central show.
And we actually didn't realize that in the beginning. It was more of like, you know, when you're drinking and you kind of have these like creative ideas when you're drinking, even though you don't always fulfill them. And I think that's pretty much what drove a lot of these inventions is just guys in the wintertime in a garage sitting around drinking a couple brewskis there and, you know, coming up with these really creative ideas.
You know, it would be a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Should we go all faster?
Been there. We've all been there. I mean, we've all been like, oh my God, tomorrow I'm going to do this. And we never do it because we're just hungover and we're just sitting there like, oh God, what did I do? But it's kind of that whole, like, and we didn't mean to copy the Comedy Central when we first started, you know? And it was like, just, we thought about it like later on. Actually, Eric brought it up to my attention. He's like, did you realize? I'm like, no, I didn't. You know, I just thought like me and him drink a lot of beer. We come up with a lot of ideas. We played music, having a couple beers, you know, it was just kind of our thing, you know?
Well, and it is what it is, but it was funny because I think that I thought of that show and then learning more about your guys' show. It's more that you are drinking while you're talking about these things, you're presenting stuff. As you just told me, sometimes you guys will batch record your episodes, and sometimes by the fourth episode, it's no longer usable.
It's a little off the rails.
There's a little too much IPA craft beer.
Yes. Yeah.
And so who are some of your favorite, as you've explored, I think you said almost all of the craft breweries in Wisconsin, what is like your top five?
I have to say for me, in my top five, I would say Carbon 4, just because it's just a legendary beer. New Glarus, obviously, is Wisconsin-based. One of our favorites is Third Space. They've invited us to so many VIP events. We've got to meet some really cool people because of them. And Lindsay, who does Rock the Green, which is like basically environmental things within the Milwaukee County area. She's invited us to a lot of like just really cool events. We've got to meet a lot of these people like from Mobcraft. We know Henry very well from Mobcraft. And
so is that your fourth? Is Mobcraft your fourth?
Yeah, I'd say fourth. And then I would say probably the last one, obviously Lakefront is like the coolest tour. And just like Russ Klisch, he has the same name as me, Russ. So I have to like him. You know?
And I guess I like a lot of the same ones, but 1840 down in Bayview is one of my favorites. They come up with some really, really awesome stuff, and they kind of hone in on the old school medicine look with their brown bottles. And Eagle Park is another one in my original area of Wisconsin where I bought my first house in Muskego. They have a bunch of really good beers. Carbon 4, again, I mean, they're staples. Just absolutely amazing. Lakefront, they're great.
How about Youngblood? He has Youngblood.
Youngblood.
Yeah. We've had them on the show, actually. We've interviewed them.
Do you have Bill?
Who was it? Do you remember who we had for
Youngblood? I don't remember the actual brewer.
Bill's not the brewer.
It was either a brewer or the owner.
Bill DePlante, my now married but cousin by marriage.
He worked
for Youngblood, so we're big supporters of
Love Youngblood, and then also the One Barrel is One Barrel is probably I'll round it off with One Barrel. I'm gonna get the tattoo.
He's gonna get a penguin tattoo. We're gonna get a free keg from them if he gets a sick penguin tattoo.
They did discontinue that, but we were promised that if I do it.
Where would you get the penguin tattoo?
I'm not really sure.
Because you have the outline of Wisconsin on your wrist.
I have a few tattoos. Russ has way more tattoos. But at the same point, I mean, it is crucial. You're right. I really have to think about this.
Important.
Placement is crucial.
You're getting a penguin. So
I'm
about
getting
it.
A penguin. So.
And then one of the things you guys are doing right now is also the Mobcraft Advent
I'm doing the Advent
beer.
Calendar, yeah.
And so any notable choices? Because I'm doing the Advent, the Costco wine.
Sure,
Advent calendar. Not that I'm drinking it every night, but
No judgment.
I've been like moderately impressed. I feel like all the wine I've tried so far has been kind of like, this is drinkable, but nothing that I necessarily have been like, I'm going to go buy a whole bottle instead of all the half bottles. So what have you had in the Mobcraft Advent beer calendar so far that you would recommend?
Victory or Valhalla is one of the ones that I really enjoyed. That was just a few days ago. And then also Low Funk. Low Funk is I'm a very big sour beer drinker. I really love the flavors that they can come up with on that. And the tartness. I do like wine. I do like Sauvignon Blancs, the dry, you know, that and to me, that's kind of what a sour beer is. It's kind of mimicking that. And Low Funk, their strawberry rhubarb is absolutely phenomenal.
Rhubarb. It's like the most like Wisconsin.
Did I say it like that?
Rhubarb.
So, guys, I'm curious. How do you make money to pay for all this beer?
Well, we don't.
We it's more of a hobby project. We do have our supporters who actually do sponsor the show. We have a few Patreon supporters, and they've helped us everything that we've gotten based on, like, even donations we've given back pretty much to the Wisconsin community, whether it be paying for the music or beer. And it's more of a hobby project, and I really do love Wisconsin. And for me and Eric, the reason we started it is because I had a podcast where we were interviewing, like, people in nursing homes. We were finding out these really cool Wisconsin stories, but then, you know, obviously COVID hit, so they closed down all of those. So me and him are like, let's just do this. Like,
I feel like you should bring that back.
You think so?
It was really cool. Eventually, it will be. Weave that into the if, now that the nursing homes are back open and stuff, because I'm sure there's some fascinating stories you can get out of people.
So interesting. I mean, there was one guy from World War II. He's like on a battleship. He's a D-Day, you know, and it was just incredible to hear these stories. And, you know, these things are going to be gone pretty soon. Yeah. We're not going to have them anymore. And that's why, like, it was my original go-to, and my grandma was the best storyteller, and it was kind of the reason I started in the first place. So.
You should go, seriously, go back to that, because I bet some of those stories are stories they haven't even told their families.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good point.
Incredible.
Yeah, and it really does. It takes a good interview. Viewer to kind of get that out. And when he was doing that, I was jealous, and I said, can you tell me how that I can put my podcast out there? And I just had this idea of doing some more current event stuff. And without Russ, I mean, I would have never understood how to RSS feed, you know, this thing. And now now we decided, you know what, let's just jump ship on both of those and let's do this, you know, drunken history thing.
All right, well, with the 30 seconds we have left until we have to let you go, where can people find Wisconsin Drunken History?
The best place to go is WisconsinDrunkenHistory.com. Okay. Links to all the social media, links to Patreon, everything.
All right. Well, Russ and Eric, thank you so much for spending this hour with me. It was so fun to meet you in person. Yeah. And we'll look forward to the next upcoming episodes of Wisconsin Drunken History.
See you guys at the dive bars.
All right. We're going to take one more break. Stick with us. Girl, I'm your king.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you on topics that we should cover, or guests that we should have on, or feedback for Jane and I, and how we can get better, or also maybe how much you love us. You can email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And one of the things I'm really excited to be able to do is feature at the end of the show different shows that are happening during the holidays across Wisconsin. And so this is a show I got to see last year, and I loved it. And so the Black Nativity is playing at the Marcus Center this weekend, and we have director DeMonte Henning on the phone with us. Welcome to the show, DeMonte.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And so for people who are not familiar with Black Nativity, what is the premise of the show?
So Black Nativity, it's this nativity story that we all know about bringing the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. So we start off in Act 1 with Mary and Joseph's journey, the struggles that they go through. And then finally, they Mary delivers Jesus, and then it's all about the jubilee and the celebration of Jesus Christ. In Act 2, we kind of bring it back to the center. It's more centered around how this community pulls together through tragedy, through hard times, which some of us can relate to, dealing with COVID and just differences and challenges that we go through on a daily basis. And so at the end, we are reminded to have faith and to stay strong and to keep moving forward as best we can.
Absolutely. And so, and this was a musical, but because what is the tie to Langston Hughes? Because this is his Christmas musical, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And so what we feature in the play is a lot of gospel music. We try to incorporate all the sounds of the African diaspora. So you'll hear traditional gospel music. You'll also hear some hip hop. You'll hear some R&B. You'll hear it all because we try to bring people together and not just make it just all gospel music, but just different sounds.
Absolutely. And that was what I was taking away. I mean, I was talking about last night. I saw the show over at Skylight Music Theater, which was all Disney shows. Mm-hmm. But I got to see Black Nativity last year, also with my friend Sean Holmes, who was in it last year. And I was just, it was another show where the entire time I was just grinning ear to ear and seeing the talent of the dancing and seeing the talent of the singers. And so this is the seventh year that it's going to be at the Wilson Theater at Vogel Hall in Marcus Performing Arts Center. And so how much does the show change each year and reinvent itself?
That's one of the gifts that I love to have as creative, is that each year the show evolves and we're able to change a few things. I can tell you now that since that you've seen the show last year, it has evolved enormously since last year. One thing that I share with my creative team is that I want us to take it a step further with our costumes, with our lighting, with our choreography, with our music. So even if you've seen it in the past, you know, 4 years ago, it has evolved. And I'm just so excited to share it with the community.
DeMonte, that puts a lot of pressure on you, though. I mean, you got to keep topping yourself year after year. Eventually, you're going to need like an exploding elephant or something.
You know what? Our music director said, and I love what he said. He was like, let's exhaust all the creative possibilities so that next year we're left with, okay, well, what do we do now? And I love it. I love it. I feed off of it.
And so as a director, you're from Milwaukee. And so what are some of the other shows where people might have seen your work besides Black Nativity?
So I've been involved in the Milwaukee Rep. I just was in their production of Tony Stone, which traveled down to Atlanta. I just was in Kilmer Paradise, which was produced at Next Act Theater. I've worked with Milwaukee Chamber Theater. I just did their production of The Island by Atho Fugard. And so you can see me in some other projects coming up. At the beginning of next year, I'll be directing a production called Covers with the Florentine Opera. And then I'll also be involved in Seven Guitars by August Wilson, which will be at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. That's something that I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to that. August Wilson is an incredible playwright. If you've never seen any of his shows, oh my gosh.
And it's just so heartwarming, DeMonte, to see theater coming back and the theaters that were able to hang on during the 2 years of lockdowns.
Absolutely. It's been a treat. We just had a school show earlier today at 11 o'clock, and just watching the young people take in our performers, and I know our performers really enjoyed it because feeling that energy, there's nothing like having live theater and just feeling that energy of the audience. And I just feel like they're the final ingredient to the show. You know, I did a lot of Zoom readings during the pandemic, and it was interesting.
It's not the same. Not the same.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
So just quickly before
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we let you go, when and where can people either find tickets for the show, more information about the show? Because it's just this weekend, right?
It is just this weekend. So we have our opening night, which is tonight. We just had a community preview night, which sold out yesterday. So I'm grateful for that. But for more information, they can visit blackartsmke.org to find out to purchase tickets.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, DeMonte. DeMonte Henning is the director of the Black Nativity, which is this weekend at the Marcus Center. We will link all of that information in our blog post for today's episode. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a break a leg.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that will about do it for us this December 9th, Friday?
December 9th, yes.
Do you know what you're going to wear tomorrow? Are you wearing the light-up scarf hat?
I'm wearing the light-up scarf, and I have a special hat that I also purchased. And
because the attire for our Christmas, our Civic Media holiday party... Which is tomorrow night, which we're very excited about. Mm-hmm. The attire is festive, which I think...
That's a pretty broad range.
...is up for interpretation, so I am debating between my... festive, ugly Christmas sweater. I'm debating. Do you look? Do you go for funny, or do you go for cute?
I am so past beyond cute. I have to go for funny. But you can go for cute.
Yeah, we'll see. But I don't want to be overdressed. This is always the thing. It's like,
bring something that lights up. It'll balance everything.
I think that's the key. I think the key after this is to go to Target and find something that lights up so you and I can match.
I like it.
All right. Well, that will do it for us today on As Goes Wisconsin for this week. But we will be back on Monday when we will do this all over again. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Unless you're listening to WXCO in Wausau, then you got the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. But as always, thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin all week, every day, 11 to 2. We will be back on Monday. We'll see you then. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you as a police officer that this department is reaching out to the community and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the 5 things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. If you plan to fly this holiday, you could experience travel headaches due to severe weather that could delay or cancel many flights. CBS's Errol Barnett at LaGuardia Airport.
Snow is already falling in cities like Seattle, and with that same cold air already moving east, those expecting to travel for the holiday face an uphill climb.
Hopefully we got this sweet spot just in time.
In fact, the storm system is already causing delays and cancellations at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport.
Thursday is supposed to be the busiest travel day of the holiday season, and that is when the Chicago area is due to get at least 6 inches of snow and blizzard conditions. It could be bad news for those trying to make a connecting flight at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. A House committee votes to release redacted tax filings from former President Trump. CBS's Deborah Alfaron has the latest.
The Democratic-controlled committee received 6 years.